may my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If ye have ears, then hear. Now therefore, hear the parable of the sower. According to Matthew, Jesus' popularity was peaking. The crowds that pressed upon him were so large that he took to a boat and pulled a short distance offshore. According to tradition, this was in a cove, and the crowd stood on the beach which arced around. The low hills behind the beach formed a kind of natural amphitheater. And from the boat, Matthew tells us, Jesus spoke to them in parables at some length. The first was the parable of the sower. Note that this is oral communication. What's distinctive about oral communication is that it all takes place in the moment. The speaker doesn't repeat himself. And what's more, everybody's response is individual. Jesus laid his story out there for the crowds. Each listener on the shore heard the same story, but then made of it what he or she willed. That's of the nature of storytelling. And it happens whether you're listening to a story or reading a story. I've been watching my 10-year-old granddaughter lie on our sofa and do her summer reading. She's pretty good about it, not like my boys. She's engrossed. She's looking at the words. But I can see on her face that what she's reading is driving her imagination. Her internal stream of consciousness is her contribution to the story. And because the process of reading is natural and not conscious of itself, the process becomes far less significant than her mental pictures. What's more, if she picks up the same book 2 weeks from now, the words will be the same, but her imaginative contribution may be very different. And if I were to pick the book up, the words would be the same. But my internal response would not be Addie's response. Stories become live because of what they prompt in the listener. It's very individual, and it is always open to change. Jesus knew that when he sat in his boat and told his stories on the seashore. That's what he meant when he said to the crowd, "If ye have ears, then hear." Jesus knew everyone would engage with the story in their own way. It would prompt something different in each of them. And when they thought about the story 6 weeks later, it would probably prompt something new. Over the years I've been preaching, People leaving church will sometimes tell me, "Thank you for your sermon today. It was really meant for me." And then when they elaborate on what has been important for them, I'm astonished. Because it was really not what I'd been talking about. Or it may have been only peripheral to what I was talking about. They have been listening. And then their imagination has taken hold of something and they have followed that thought. And I am not disappointed one bit. Whether it was what I intended or not is insignificant beside what God intended the person to hear. If you had ears, I say to myself, then it was important for you to hear. Jesus' story about the sower has been told countless times. It was repeated orally for 50 years before it was ever written down. Once it had been written down, until the printing press in the 15th century, most people heard it rather than read it. It's amongst the first piece of Jesus' teaching that children learn. How many times during your life do you think you've heard the parable of the sower read in church? In all those retellings of the story of the sower, ask yourself, how many different thoughts has it left in people's minds? So I'm going to tell it again today. I don't want you to read it in your bulletin, so put those away. I want you to listen to it. I'm going to give you some prompts that I hope will not be a distraction. Imagine that you are standing there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and Jesus is telling this story. A sower went forth to sow. A sower has a deep leather pouch strung crossbody from his neck. It falls on his hip, and he reaches into the pouch, grasps a fistful of seeds, and casts them on the ground in a sweeping motion. I'm sure as Jesus told the story, the first question people asked themselves was, "Who is this sower?" Maybe you've asked yourself that question. Is the sower God? And are the seeds all the myriad attempts that God has made to make his ways known to men? Are the seeds nature? Are the seeds his hand over history? Are the seeds the words spoken by the prophets? Or is it that when Jesus talks about the sower, he's talking about himself? And all the successes and the failures that he's contended with during his earthly ministry. Is he thinking about the seed of joy when he restored a family member to life? Or is he thinking about the carping of the Pharisees when he did that on a Sabbath? Is the sower, the Holy Spirit, trying countless times throughout my life to plant himself in my heart. When have I wasted the seeds that the Holy Spirit has sown for me? And why? When have I been fruitful soil? And can I determine to be that always? Or is the sower me? Are the seeds the good deeds that I've tried to do during my lifetime? Are there times when I have tried to share my faith, but I've been rebuffed? Are there times when I have reached out to somebody else and they've rejected me? The thought that there is fertile soil out there, is that an incentive for me to persevere? An assurance that when I feel defeated in sharing my faith or in reaching out to someone else, nevertheless, God can bless what I do to serve him. Will there be fruitful ground after all? Let's leave the sower and go on. Some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. This is the first of the three reasons why seeds fail to produce fruit. Jesus' audience on the seashore would have known that in Jewish stories, birds are often agents of evil. They snatch what is good. Seed on the pathway is unprotected. Seed on the pathway is vulnerable. As Jesus looked out on the faces of those gathered on the seashore, his heart must have ached for the vulnerable among them. And he must have known that there were many vulnerable out there on the seashore. Vulnerable because of poverty, vulnerable because of disease. There were those who were mentally sick. There were orphans. There were widows. There were those who were being taken advantage of. Because of the conditions of their lives, seeds would never take root. Christians through the centuries of the church have realized that you cannot preach the gospel to people without first addressing their basic human needs. The seeds will be snatched away. And in that regard, where do our responsibilities lie? Pressing on. Some seeds fell in stony places. They sprung up, because they had no depth of earth, when the sun came up, they were scorched. Jesus knew there were many on that beach who would jump enthusiastically onto the bandwagon of discipleship, but their faith would be shallow, and it would not stand the tests of life. Surely he hoped to challenge some to examine the depth of their commitment and determine to deepen it. Tragedies, setbacks, failures, disappointments, rejections are part of every life. None of us can expect to be insulated from them. The question is to what extent we will be crushed by them. The faith that will help us surmount life's challenges is not a faith that can be quickly acquired or borrowed from others. Faith that is not deep is quickly scorched. The relationship with God takes work. It's an investment that does not grow without attention. Last of the negatives. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Commenting on this passage, Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the 19th century, said simply, "For the poor, the thorns are all the cares of their lives. For the rich, the thorns are their wealth." Jesus saw rich and poor on the beach in front of him. He knew the risks for each, that a healthy faith would be strangled by the conditions of their lives. But then there is the happy ending to the parable. Some seed fell in good ground and brought forth fruit. Surely, for some on the beach, Jesus' words came at the right moment in their lives. Their hearts and their minds were open. They were prepared to hear and they were willing to learn. They weren't too proud or too busy to listen. They understood and they were prepared to translate their understanding into changed lives and action. That's what fruit is. If we have ears to hear, surely there is much for each of us in this parable of the sower. Much that is cautionary, but plenty to encourage. But if we have ears to hear, then we must hear and we must act. Fruitfulness is the goal we must aim for in our lives. And we must ask ourselves, what stands in the way? And how is it that I can produce more fruit? Amen.